We continue our study in this short epistle of Philemon today, and we will stop on verse 6. But this prayer that we're talking about, this is Paul's prayer for Philemon. It actually begins in verse 4. And so Paul writes, "I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayer, hearing of your faith and love which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus." And as a review for some of those that were gone last Sunday, just want to touch on a couple of points from verse 5 in this prayer that Paul prays for Philemon. We find that Paul did not just suddenly begin to pray for Philemon because the slave Onesimus came to know the Lord, and he needs to go back now, and Paul's going to ask Philemon to accept him back. No, Paul was a man of prayer, as we find in all the epistles that he writes. Paul was always praying. He was praying about everybody in all things at all times. And Paul always prayed for Philemon and considered Philemon to be a brother in the Lord, a fellow laborer. He calls him a fellow co-worker, if you will, and a fellow believer. And so Paul's prayer expresses a heart, a genuine heartfelt thanksgiving to God for Philemon in several different categories and aspects. And what we stopped on last time in verse 5 was the reputation that Philemon had. Do you have a reputation about a particular part of your life that is good or maybe not so good that people talk about? Paul says, "I heard." The word came to Paul in jail, but he heard a certain good report about the reputation of Philemon. And specifically, there's two points there. The first one is that he had a faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a trusting faith, a saving faith. He trusted Jesus Christ, the work of Jesus Christ on the cross for his salvation. He did not trust his reputation or his good works or the things he was doing. His trust for salvation was totally, completely, 100% in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And he demonstrated it by his love for other Christians. What is interesting in verse 5 is that Christians here are called saints. Now, when we think of saints, we think of Orthodox or Catholic churches and all of the saints that they pray to. Well, a saint is anybody who is called holy and justified by God. God has saved us and God calls us saints. God has justified us and made us stand before Him so that when God looks at us, He sees His Son, Jesus Christ, and the righteousness of Jesus Christ that He clothes us with. And God no longer sees my sins and doesn't see me as a sinner, but He sees me through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And therefore, God can call each and every one of us that are His children, He can call us saints or holy people. Holy means separated from the world. And so my prayer is that every one of us would have these two qualities in our life. That our faith would be only in the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation, and it would be demonstrated by the love that we have towards one another and towards the people in the world. And in verse 6, we come to a second aspect of the prayer of Paul about a specific characteristic that Philemon had, and that is his testimony. And I'd like us to think carefully a little bit today for a few minutes about what the word testimony means. Do you have a testimony? Can you talk about what God has done in your life? And does your life talk about or demonstrate or speak about what God is doing in and through your life? A really genuine born-again Christian will share his faith. Paul writes, he says, "I pray that the sharing of your faith would be effective." Effektivna. Something that has results. Is your testimony something that other Christians can pray to God about and praise God for? Or is it necessary for Christians to pray that you would have a testimony? Paul praying for Philemon finds that Philemon had a testimony towards other people in how he lived and how he acted. And I want to bring to our attention the fact that Christianity is not something that is secret. You can't keep it inside yourself. The only way anybody will ever know you're a Christian is if you share your faith. Not only with your words, with your mouth, with your preaching, with your testimony that when you talk, but with your life and how you treat other people. Christianity is something that is not individualistic. It's not just yours. God wants it to spread through you to everybody so it become mutually belong to everybody. Especially when we talk about our local church here in Hollywood. Maybe you've heard there's an expression that says where the shoe leather hits the road. That's where your real life practical application of Christianity occurs. Hitting the road is where you live, where you work, where you go to school, with what you do, what you speak. Testimony is not just preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, but testimony includes a genuine desire and a concern to share the faith with others. Paul uses the word sharing here. And the word sharing from the Greek is translated in some of your Bibles with the word fellowship. Apsenia. And you remember that was one of the four characteristics of the New Testament church that we find in Acts 2:42. First of all, they spent time in the apostles' teaching, in doctrine, in sermons. And second of all, they spent time in fellowship and then prayer and the Lord's Supper. Fellowship. Some of you may have heard the word, the Greek word, koinonia, which is where we translate our word fellowship. Some churches are called koinonias. They're called fellowships or assemblies and congregations. And our Russian word sobrania comes from the word fellowship, where it's a group of many come together to become mutual one. Biblical fellowship, unfortunately, many people simply think of it as what we do downstairs when we get together around the table and we eat together. And that includes fellowship, but that is not what fellowship is all about. The word fellowship, it means a personal, accepting, and sharing of all things in life, not just material things. Certainly, we need to share with each other. If you see your brother has a need, James says, and you don't share it, then where's your faith and where's your Christianity? Where are your works? Show them to me in reality. But a mutual, personal sharing of your life, your experiences, the good and the bad, all of life. That's what fellowship means. Another way to express fellowship or koinonia is with the English word belonging. Belonging includes what you own, all of your stuff. But belonging means that you are a part of everybody else and everybody else is a part of you. That was the tragedy of Ananias and Sapphira. The church was mutually sharing things, and they were holding things back and lying about it. And that's why God punished them. Belonging to somebody or to an organization. We are members of this local body of believers. It's called a church. Our church is a member or a part of a larger group, Pacific Coast Slavic Baptist Association, which is part of the Russian-Ukrainian Union of America. And we're part of the Southern Baptist Convention. We're also part of the California Division of the Southern Baptist Convention. But you see, we are a small part of something larger that ultimately represents the body of Jesus Christ all around the world. And it means to be a partner. Sometimes businesses have partners. Two people or three or four or many get together to form a business. But they are equal partners together. And they all share in both the profits and the losses. Some years there's a profit and some years there's a loss, but they share in it. And as a church, In our fellowship, we share mutually and we belong mutually to each other. And in Acts 2, it says that whenever people had need, the ones that were able to, they met the need, and in such a way, they both gave of their belongings, and everybody at the same time belonged to each other. Paul's prayer for Philemon is not because he was negligent and didn't fellowship. Paul's prayer is not because Philemon was passive. It's not because he was unfaithful, but the total opposite. Paul is praying that Philemon would continue without interruption the fellowship and the sharing and the belonging he had with other Christians that happened to meet in his house church. He's praying that the preaching of the gospel and Philemon's everyday involvement in the life of other Christians would not be interrupted. When Paul writes to the Thessalonian church and he talks about prayer, he says, pray without ceasing. That's what he means here to Philemon. He says, I pray that the sharing of your faith would be an ongoing thing. And secondly, that it would be effective. The word effective is translated in the New International Version in the following way, and I like that. It says that you would be active in the sharing of your faith. Active versus inactive. Being involved. The actual Greek word here in the Greek text is the word energē, which we translate into energy in English. Paul is praying that Philemon would be energetic in the sharing and the fellowship of his faith. And that's my prayer for you today. That your fellowship and your sharing of faith, both verbally to people that don't know the Lord, and also in the way you treat other Christians, that it would be energetic, with power. Another similar word is the word dunamis, which means in English dynamite. Something that is a small package, but when it's put to use, it explodes and it has unlimited power. And lastly, Paul prays that your effective sharing would be acknowledged with every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Paul is praying that Philemon's life and his testimony and his sharing would be seen and understood and felt and acknowledged by those people with whom he was dealing with. And the acknowledgement is that Philemon's life and his works were a result of the transforming redemptive power of God in his life. It wasn't something that Philemon could do himself, but it was a result of him being born again. And Paul says, continue to exercise your gifts. Those of you that exercise, you know, if you stop exercising, your muscles become weak and they atrophy. Spiritually, if you're not active in the sharing of your faith, it becomes not effective. And then the world does not acknowledge and does not become the recipients of the good works that God is creating in your life. Philemon could read about agape love, but he would never experience it until he began to practice it. And so Paul prays on his behalf. He says, I pray that your faith, your sharing of your faith would be effective, that it would be active, that it would be energetic, dynamite, and that the people that surround you would experience that power of God in their lives. Amen.